Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right. Here we go.
I didn't hear the end part of that. That's kind of weird. Anyway, we are talking sports with the 12th man. We are officially ready to get this party started. Got the crew here, minus JQ and America. Either he is hanging out at the All-Star game or getting drunk somewhere. We don't really know. So, again, we hope that he is enjoying himself for sure. Obviously, he's taking some time off, so whenever he gets a chance to come back, you will hear his amazing thoughts as always. So without further ado, we always like to check in with the fellas on this July 19th day of the month on Tuesday. So let's check in with everyone. Go around the horn, if you will, and we'll start with Robert Ford. How you feeling, Rob?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get the show on the road. I had a nice dinner tonight at the historical Columbia restaurant in Tampa. It's been here since 1905. If you're in the Tampa area, you got to visit it. It's truly a staple in the Tampa community, a Spanish restaurant. Definitely have to try it. Yeah, man, that baked stuffed grouper was amazing tonight. So it's a must in the Tampa area. A lot of history.
No asparagus tonight, Rob?
I asked, but they didn't have any in the restaurant, so no asparagus. I had to go with the green beans and the carrots. So,
very good point.
Typically, they'll serve that with veggies and yellow rice, but I was trying to cut back on the carbs, so I had to hold back on the rice.
Okay.
And I love rice.
I'm happy that you're okay.
But I couldn't have it.
This guy right here. Love it. West Coast, Curtis and Gary, check in with you guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. I'm here with Curtis. We kind of went over some of the topics beforehand, and we're ready to get this road on the show.
Get your road on the show.
Good stuff. Again, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, which is out at the number 12. Man Sports, if you will, 12th Man Sports. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. If you put that, you will find us as well. We post a lot of details as far as show topics, any draft materials, anything that's happening, pictures, all that fun stuff. We have that on the page as well. And last but not least, if you want to call on the show, if we can get enough topics in, Rob did a good job this week. Didn't put 20-something topics in, Rob, so I'm proud of you, man. So, again, we still got enough, but we'll have some fun dissecting all of those. Always reach out to us at 424-243-9519 is the number. So, gentlemen, I know, Gary, you kind of started off with talking about the Major League All-Star game is a little uneventful, but I think we've talked about a couple things, and we'll go around the horn and get your thoughts on that, too. So we'll start with West Coast. How you feel about the game so far?
Well, you know, like I said, I think, you know, I like it when these guys just were just parking them, you know, back in the day, you know, when they were just – they get up to bat, and anybody that got up to bat, chances are they're getting on base. I love to see that. This is just more of a – I do like the – this is more of a just a regular old baseball game, it seems like, with the best players, of course. But these pitchers are doing a good job. They're really doing a good job out there with these guys. Imagine pitching against all these guys, and they're all the best in the league, you know. It's not like a regular, you know, not, you know, 1 through 9 is just absolutely outstanding. So It's tough. These pitchers are doing a fantastic job. So my hat's off to the pitching in this particular All-Star game. But I do love to see the offense, you know. I love to see them, you know, going back and forth. This year it's not that way, but you never know year to year. Kurt, what do you think?
Game is game by people say online.
Yeah, Curtis is saying the game has changed, you know. It's more of a, you know, it's not those big hitters, it seems like we used to see when we had, all those guys from the A's and the, you know, and of course, Rodriguez and,
yeah,
you know, all those guys just launching everything when they came up to the plate. But we'll see how it ends up. You never know. It's the bottom of the eighth, so they're running out of time, and it's 3-2, so let's see how things shape up. But things can change in a quick hurry, so you always want to watch it. You always want to keep your eye on it.
Yeah. We'll let Rob jump in here, too, because I think we talk about star power. Maybe there's a little bit more star power back in the day, you know, whenever you talked about it, Gary Curtis, whenever you're talking about the Bash brothers, McGuire, Canseco, the Ken Griffey's of the world, I think you had a little bit more stars back then. And I think we don't know as many of the players, you know, now, I think. You know, Tatis isn't in, you know, but there are some names. But I just feel like back whenever we kind of had baseball was on the forefront, we had a little bit more star power. And then I will say that this is actually the truest form of an all-star game because there's not really any changes to certain things. I mean, you're getting the best of the best, Gary, 1-9. Pitcher versus pitcher, batter versus batter. I mean, this is really true indicative of what's happening with that. So it's a little disappointing from that perspective. I can see where you want more home runs, but it's just a better game because you have better pitchers. I mean, if you get a home run, you're like, you earned that because you're going against probably one of the best, you know, pitchers at the time. So it's definitely a true representation of what a true all-star game should be, if you will. Kind of similar to hockey maybe, but still it's not like, you know, the NBA. It's like, you know, there's fun stuff they're tricking. You know, they do kind of play towards the end of the game, and then, you know, football, it's not even everyone's scared about getting hurt. But, again, baseball is the truest representation of what an all-star game should be. So I've talked a lot. I'll let Rob get his thought because Rob is always great as far as his input for sure.
Yeah, not really a whole lot to add. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw, surprisingly, first all-star start, you know, and he's had such a great career. It was interesting to see that, obviously, for the National League. And then Juan Carlos Stanton, man, that was just a straight jack that he hit in his game.
Nice.
467 feet. Unbelievable. And you can arguably say that's the difference in the game right now, his home run to give the American League a 3-2 lead. And, you know, and the interesting thing that a lot of fans probably don't realize, the All-Star game is important because the winner has the home field advantage in the World Series. So, for example, Gary, the American League holds on, and our Yankees make the World Series. We got home field advantage, so it's so the game does have some meaning. So it's not one of these All Star games that does not have meaning. So you know, I expect for them to, especially these playoff contenders, to really take this game really seriously.
Well, and I think that just like what you said, Andre, you know. This one is the best of the All-Stars, of the All-Star games, because it does matter, you know, and these players go out and play like it matters. I think football's the worst of it.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. By far.
They thought that the winner got the home game.
Yeah, the winner gets, Curtis, the winner gets the of the All-Star game gets the home field advantage. So, we're rooting for the Yankees to get the home field advantage.
Yeah, the AL's been dominated for the past couple of years. Yeah, and it's crazy because you're hoping that whenever the Nationals had that good start, you're like, oh, can they – we knew it was going to be tough to hold that incredible lineup, but I'm just happy that obviously my Braves are doing pretty good. Acuna did his thing. And, again, congrats to you guys because they put a stat up there as far as some teams that have had the longest win streaks. Seattle, the Braves are up there with 14, and then the Yankees are up there with 11 too. So it kind of shows you what's happening as far as trending, if you will, too. But like I said, we're American League has dominated it for the past couple of years. So unless a miracle happens, it kind of looks like the same case, if you will. But good stuff, gentlemen. Let's keep it moving. We have to talk about it. If you feel free to add anything else too, we're going to talk about the Home Run Derby. And Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
Hey, Juan Soto came through big, and he's a hot name right now. Turned down some reportedly $440 million contract extension with the Washington Nationals. Where is he going to go next, right? A lot of rumors that it's either the Yankees or the Mets. From a New York perspective,
it sounds like those two
teams. But I hear a sleeper is the St. Louis Cardinals, and the reason being is they got a lot of great young prospects that they can offer, even in their farm system. So they could be a real sleeper in this, in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. But you turn down a $440 million contract, odds are he's not coming in the Nationals. And another thing is, he's kind of disappointed the Nationals didn't charter a plane for him to Los Angeles. For the All-Star game. So he had to fly commercial. I don't think he was too happy with that. And, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'm going to say it's going to be between the Yankees, the Mets, or the Cardinals is where it's going to wind up. All indications are he will not be in Washington.
He didn't call Curtis, Gary, or Rob to get those connections for Delta? I mean, get that charter plane? We got some three all-stars right here. How come that didn't happen? Come on, guys. What's going on?
I don't know. But I think this was more of a – I don't think it was more of an airline charter. I think this is more of a private jet charter, I think, what he was looking for.
You got connections, right, guys? Come on now.
Rob does. We know. No, but, New York – Both the Mets and the Yankees are in play for him. Mm-hmm. And I think the Dodgers are too.
That would be
a big move for the Dodgers.
I would say that's a good, sleeper, and I agree with Rob. Kind of keep an eye on what's happening with the Cardinals, because, the Cardinals definitely have kind of everything that you would think he's looking for as far as with, obviously no one beats the Yankees and the pageantry and stuff like that too, but if you're looking for straight prospects, that may be the situation to go for the Nationals. So, again, it really depends on kind of which team kind of gets them. But that's an interesting sleeper, Rob, that you brought up too about the Cardinals, because I kind of heard that a little bit, but we knew about the usuals with the Yankees and the Mets as far as where he's going to end up at.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, obviously Julio Rodriguez gave him a run in the final, in the home run competition. Uh-huh. Julio Rodriguez uh-huh. is a great young prospect with the Seattle Mariners. And speaking of the Mariners, 14 in a row. My goodness.
Yep.
Where did they come from? Yeah, definitely the hottest team in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay.
And I think, go ahead, Gary. We're going to
go ahead.
All right. So a couple of situations too, as far as some dominoes, and we got to talk about where Ohtani, we got Mike Trout and Aaron Judge end up. So this is going to be interesting too. So, again, Gary, Rob, you got to take the first stage. What do you think is going to happen for those particular players?
I think Aaron Judge will wind up staying with the Yankees. I know there's somewhat of a contract dispute. I know there's some media reports that doesn't think he's going to be back. But I don't think Aaron Judge wants to leave the Yankees. And I think he loves playing for the Yankees. And I expect him to remain a New York Yankee going into next season. Ohtani and Trout, I tell you what, I still haven't been able to get a gauge on those two just yet. I'm going to say the Angels find a way to keep Ohtani, but I don't think they keep Trout. Mm. I think Trout will wind up going somewhere else, maybe even cross town to the Dodgers. So that wouldn't be a surprise there either. Yeah.
Oh, that would be, yeah.
Not like, it's probably like, oh, wow, like, yeah, man, you talk with Dodgers, man. Woo! Rich, get richer. Keep going.
So, but I think they keep Ohtani. I think Trout will probably wind up going somewhere else, but I could see him being in the range for, you know, staying in Los Angeles and going to the and going to the Dodgers.
I think that would be an excellent move for him. I do think that I think he's the only one that's going to move Trout, and I think that that would be a good move for the Dodgers. Be a really good move for the Dodgers. And he's staying, you know. So I mean, I can see that happening, absolutely.
Yeah. And what about Ohtani? Ohtani has been just kind of like the guy too. Ooh, go ahead, Chris. Yep.
I know. The Cubs got nine draft into their baseball.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Good stuff. All right. I'm going to skip ahead here. We're going to talk about kind of some interesting conversation regarding the Big 12. And there's been some stop, if you will, on some merger conversations with the Pac-12. So, Rob, what are you hearing about that from that front?
Well, it looks like the Big 12 and the Pac-12 has called off all talks for a merger. And, you know, obviously they could revisit the situation, but there was some talk about the possibility of the two conferences merging outright. And I guess these talks have been called off for the time being, and maybe both conferences would try to see if they can hold their own standing alone. But in the end, the Big 12 may still try to pull some teams out of the Pac-12 since they can't get a complete merger. Obviously, they would love to have Oregon and Washington. They would love to have Arizona and Arizona State. They would love to have Colorado and Utah. But for some reason, if there's not an outright merger, all reports say that the Big 12 is not interested in Stanford and Cal, which is interesting. Why wouldn't they go after those two schools as well? So it's just, you know, we have to wait and see. It sounds like the SEC is standing fast. And they're saying they don't see a need to move more than 16 teams at this current time. They're revisiting the future. So maybe we're going to be at a standstill for another year or so on conference realignment. So we'll have to wait and see. But the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have called off talks for a complete merger as of now.
Well, the Pac-12 and the ACC are working on a broadcasting partnership with ESPN, and one of the options has Cal, Stanford, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Louisville in the West. And in the East, they have Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, Florida State, Miami, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse in the East. So that is one of their options that they're looking at. It's all going to depend on
what. What was the first one? The first part? Say this again.
You want me to start over? In the West?
Yeah.
Okay, the West was Cal, Stanford, okay. Oregon, Washington, Utah, Arizona, Arizona, Louisville.
Okay.
In the East, Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, Miami, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
But then that's eliminating Washington State, Oregon State, Wake Forest, Colorado, Boston College, Georgia Tech, and Pitt. there's some sort of, I don't know what legalities there are in that, but that's what they're working on right now. That was one of their options. The first thing they want to get is see if they can get that money with the sponsorship of ESPN or however that works, partnership, and then see what they can do with these other teams. But that would be that would work.
Curtis, you got anything to add to that?
I have enough. And
there is one other option. There's a there with the ACC and the Pac-12, and it's a three conference option. And the West Coast would be, I think it's Colorado, Stanford, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. The Mid would be Colorado. Midwest would be Colorado, Louisville, Syracuse, Pitt, Boston College, Virginia, Virginia Tech. And the Southeast would be Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia Tech. So I don't know.
That's good stuff, Gary.
I don't know which one they would go with. I think the two team scenario seems like it would work out better, you know, having that two team championship game and on to whatever else they're going to do would align better with the other power conferences, having two divisions or whatever within each power conference.
Yeah, two divisions, yeah. I mean, and I guess how does it look like as far as a championship game, too? Because obviously you're going to, you know, you kind of like it's literally split right down there for that, too. So, but I do like kind of how you split it between the West, the Mid, and the East. I'm a little biased because that includes everybody now, and that may look better as far as, you know, maybe on the TV deal, because now you're kind of flying. You may have some interesting matchups between, you know, East, Mid. I mean, maybe that's a little bit more interesting as far as the games, but it depends on money, like you talked about, Gary. So good stuff.
Right. Whatever conference, whichever way they go, all of these teams are going to be traveling a hell of a lot more than they ever have in all of these conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Naj,
is that you?
Yeah.
You.
He's in.
So,
what's up, Andre?
Yeah, we can hear you, man. We're letting Curtis finish his thoughts. We're literally talking about the conference. Literally, again, the Big 12 was talking about conversations, and we're going to talk about what's happening with the ACC and little things of that, too. But we're going to let Curtis finish up, and Naj, all on you, man. You know your thoughts. Super conference. Go ahead, Curtis. Finish up.
Southeast and college football dominating.
Well, that's probably it. I mean, if you're, you know, from any other conference other than the Southeast, you are tired of them winning all the championships. So if you can make some power conference of your own to try and – you got to try and compete with the Southeast. Right now, it doesn't happen very often. The only one that's done it really recently is Clemson. You know, everybody else has really fallen short against that, that power conference. So I can see why they want to make these. First of all, the money is just enormous.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so that's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get your thoughts in the Naj, because we know how you feel about just money, $300 million. We're kind of talking about a little bit from the SEC side, but more or less from the Pac-12 and what's happening on the ACC side. So welcome, Naj, first and foremost, as always, sir. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, my bad, man. I was coming in hot, man. I couldn't hear anybody. My bad on that, man. But no,
you guys
said everything, though, about, you know, the realignment and everything. Like, y'all have heard my spiel on it. You know how I feel about it or what I think is going to happen. And I just think everybody's getting their ducks in a row. I think the power conferences are also looking at ways of how they actually throw the NCAA overboard, because eventually they just decide, do we need them or not? And I think they're, you know, they're discussing things like that right now. So, yeah, man, y'all added a lot to it, man. This is a moving process. We'll see.
Now, but you talk about it more from the SEC side, but what about from, you know, Gary gave some good alliances, if you heard him talking about what's going to happen with, and kind of have like a West, a Mid, and kind of an East situation too, where you got some conferences kind of split up too. What do you think about something like that? Not necessarily power conferences, like, but what about like maybe the Pac-12 and the ACC? What did you think about that?
Yeah. Well, the same things really apply. So, like, I heard what he was saying about, like, Oregon meeting up with those other schools. The only problem is these schools aren't equals. So how much leverage does Oregon have? Can they throw their weight around? Are they more comfortable getting into being, like, a second-tier group in the super conference? Or would they want to run their own thing where they can pretty much, you know, boss everybody around?
Fish.
So just look at TV markets and populations. It'll tell you the same story that the stories from the SEC will tell you.
Love it. We're going to talk about what's happening with, you know, Oklahoma. Obviously, they hired Brent Venables, take over. Speaking about that Clemson tie, if you talked about Gary. And something that's pretty interesting, too, is that if you're looking at Sportsbook had one school that was predicted to be really close to winning a championship. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to this, but it's USC. So they're putting a lot of money behind USC and what's happening over there with Lincoln Riley. Now, Oklahoma, like we talked about back in the day, their record, what was it, like 7-2, if you will, last year. So, you know, obviously, you know, maybe Lincoln Riley didn't feel as appreciative, and now he goes to USC, he's getting all these recruits. And it's going to be interesting to see if they want that kind of situation where, you know, it's USC is kind of like coming back to prominence. And that does look good for college football, right? But I guess we can kind of segue maybe next week about that. But what's going to happen with Oklahoma, guys? Is Oklahoma kind of like, you know, it's like I got left at the altar, right? But what do you think about Oklahoma, Rob? And I'll let Rob jump in. It's been a minute since he's kind of commented. So on you, Rob.
Well, I do think Brent Venables is a perfect fit for that Oklahoma program, right? I do think he is a guy that just represents Oklahoma football, right? And I think he's going to bring a certain toughness back to that program. Lincoln Riley turned it into more of an offensive program. I think Brent Venables is going to turn it into a well-rounded program. Obviously, that's not going to be this season for Oklahoma. I mean, they just lost Caleb Williams, right? So there's you know, that's going to be a huge blow to Oklahoma. So I look at this season for Oklahoma being somewhere around that 8-4 range. I don't think they're, you know, a national championship contender. I think they're obviously a bowl participant. But I think long-term, Brent Venables is going to have them playing really good defense. And he'll have to keep a good offensive coordinator in order for them to be successful offensively. But, you know, long-term, I think he'll still keep a steady program there. But the Lincoln Riley, I think, in USC is just a perfect fit as well. It's going to be easier for him to recruit players to come to Los Angeles than to come to Norman, Oklahoma. I mean, that's just an easy sell, right? So, I mean, he's going to be able to get recruits not only in his backyard, but he's going to be able to get recruits from all over the country, right? And he did a fairly decent job recruiting at Oklahoma. But, man, you know, when you have a great product to sell, it's a lot easier to get people to come. And he's got Los Angeles to sell versus Norman, Oklahoma. It's going to be a lot easier for him to get players to come. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? And so Lincoln Riley, I think, would definitely have that USC team. It's going to be tough for the travel standpoint in the Big Ten, though. Unless they can get some more schools on the West Coast to kind of help them out a little bit. But he's going to have that, Pete Carroll had a serious thing going at USC. It's hard for me to say that he'll be as good as Pete Carroll, but I think he's going to have a great thing going there at USC as well. So I think both of these coaches are like in a perfect fit. I think Lincoln will be perfect in L.A., and I think Brent Venables kind of fits that image of Oklahoma football.
Well, Oklahoma, Taylor has a big rivalry with
I still think I think Oklahoma is going to take a dip this year, but I think the program is going to be a solid program. You know, I think this is a more of a with USC, I think, because you have Lincoln Riley, a big name, and you have a school with lots of history, and, you know, and it's in Southern California, that's an easy
right.
sell, just like Rob said.
Absolutely.
That is an easy, easy sell. You know, what they have to do in Oklahoma is like going door to door and selling vacuum cleaners. It's not a tough sell. You can do it. You can do it. But you got to really, you know, bring your A game. All they have to do is fly them out there. Let's take them to some beachside restaurant with the family and wine and dine them and say, hey, we've got you set up right here. That's a win-win, you know. So,
yeah,
I think the Oklahoma's, it's going to be a longer process, but I think
right.
both teams are going to get to where that both programs want to be. I just think it's going to take a little longer for Oklahoma to get there than
well,
the SC.
I think the road has been behind that computer. I mean, that used to be what you said. You had Sam Wooden was taking all the basketballs from the cold seas.
Yep.
And we know
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys didn't hear what Curtis said, he was referring to when Wooden brought all those, you know, players from the Northeast to come and play in UCLA, and they get out there in the sunshine, and it's 75 degrees in January. It's that's kind of a win-win for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He recruited Kareem out of New York City.
There right. it is. Yeah. Yep. Go ahead, Nod. Get your thoughts in there real quick.
So, look, man. Lincoln Riley, he's at USC. USC, you don't have to go out of state for a quarterback or speed. So that's a baked-in advantage that USC has, which is why we've always seen them rise to where they are. So I figure Lincoln Riley is going to be really, really good there. Maybe they win a chip or two. And he goes off to the NFL, and USC probably goes through sanctions again or some other penalty, and then they bring in another coach because that's what USC does. As far as Oklahoma, I think Venables is a bridge coach. Yeah, I think he's like Rob was saying, he keeps them above water, but eventually they bring in some kind of superstar because the alumni really, really want to win, and they're really willing to spend a lot of that oil money from that last boom a few years ago. During the pandemic, and they're going to get a guy in there and try to compete and try to raise it up. But they're looking at a few years of, I don't want to say mediocrity because they got so much talent. It's not going to be mediocre, but I don't see them as a championship contender like Rob was saying. But in a few years, I think they totally reload that thing, and we see a big-name coach take that job at Oklahoma.
Good stuff. Wow.
Well, I don't see Oklahoma as considering their guy now a bridge coach at all. I think they're thinking of him more long term with with that toughness and grit that he brings to his football teams. I think they're looking at him long term. They like that smash mouth kind of stuff. And if they can bring
until you don't win with it. Like winning with smash mouth physical football is a great thing when you're winning, but when you're mediocre or you're not getting where the alumni expect you to get, then it becomes an albatross around your neck. It's kind of like college basketball teams that play at a slow pace. When you're winning, people don't mind. You start getting falling into the middle of the pack, and then they start talking about play style and fit, and you have your factions of alumni. We want this guy. They want that guy. Hey, this college football, baby, we're going to have wars on the tarmac, like always. They're going to be trying to buy punches on the tarmac, maybe like this.
No, so I got one thing to ask. You can say
good.
You can say the same exact thing about Lincoln Riley, okay? They bring him in. He's that offensive genius. He's going to bring USC to the promised land, but guess what? What's he won? What's he done?
I'm just saying, man, the athletes that he's going to be able to get with his offensive system, even when you lose, you're losing 56-50 in those things that people can kind of shrug their shoulders and say they had a good season, they enjoyed it, and eventually when he gets it right. Like, I just look at Lincoln Riley as an NFL head coach.
That point, yeah.
He's buying his time, you know?
Yeah.
I
understand
he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, guys.
I do think they're anointing him just a little too early, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but Rob said
it's so loaded, though, man. There's talent everywhere, though, man. I don't know, bro.
You need somebody to kind of get into the next level, though. They're looking for – Clay didn't do anything. Clay Helton did absolutely nothing. That's the challenge because you're basically like – here's a Ferrari, you just ran into the ground, basically. And they're like, okay, you don't know how to drive, you know. So they get some guy that's known for, you know, that offense. And like you said, you know, one man's garbage is – not that he was garbage to anyone, but it's like now you can get – I mean, you already saw what he's done. I mean, the USC, everyone's talking about USC. Now, again, he doesn't necessarily have to have a great defense. He's going to have a good defense because he's going to get recruits. Oklahoma, you had a great offense, and you were just surviving. You know, now you have USC. Like you said, Nars, like you said, Gary, like you said, Rob, you're getting athletes, and you're getting the top recruits. That's an easier sell. Win, 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 win. That's a done deal for Lincoln Riley. So, you know, he's going to do a lot better than he was in Norman, Oklahoma, as you said, Gary. There's no way he's going to be – it's an easier sell. So USC is on upward tick, easily, and that's what everybody wants. It's a huge market. Man. You talk about the negotiation win-win. That's exactly what it is. All right, we're going to keep going here, making some good time here. And this is a layup.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Curtis and Gary, before you go, I just want to add one more thing. Remember how quick the coaching cycle is as far as people getting hired and fired. Guess what? We just sped up that cycle. We're going to see a lot of guys get let go in the second and third years of the deal, and it's going to look crazy. Like, damn, this guy went – you know, they won 8 games. Why are they running them out? Yeah, we're going to see the hiring and firing cycle move a lot faster than we're used to, man. That's how wow. much this is changing in real time.
Cool. Well, and I think you're right with that. I think you're spot on with that. Thanks for bringing that up, Naj, because, you know, as more money is involved, you know, with these super conferences, they want results. They don't want to be that bottom feeder. Even in that power conference, if you can get up to where you're competitive in that conference, man, the players you can bring in, the success you, the rollover effect you can have bringing in recruits, is huge. So I can see that happening. I can see a team going 8-4 and the guy and some quality coach getting shit canned for it. And let's bring in, let's try something else. I can definitely see that happening. They're taking advantage of it, and they should. You know, that's the beauty of it.
Well, let's talk about this. This is a layup, and we're going to let you guys talk about this as far as the roster weaknesses for the Cowboys heading into training camp. What say you guys, Curtis, Gary?
Well, you got to get a – for me, I think you've got to get a tackle, you got to get a, you know, or I'm sorry, a left guard. Offensive line has to be beefed up. Absolutely.
Mm.
You know, we got with Tyrone Smith, he's getting up there in age and he's getting injured. When he's in there, he's a dominant player, but he's getting injured more and more. That scares me. Mm. And we need some backup at linebacker. You know, we really need some backup at linebacker. And the biggest, I think the biggest thing that the Cowboys need is an interior defensive lineman. They need a run stopper. Because that was really what cost them that game against the 49ers in the playoffs last year. The 49ers gouged them for 150 or 160 yards last year, pretty much right up the gut on them. And if we had that, you know, badass run stopper, that's really what I think the Cowboys need. We'll see if some of these draft picks and stuff work out. They may. They tried to make some moves. We'll see what we'll see how they do.
A waiting game.
Yeah, it's a waiting game, Curtis says.
Yeah. How very that close is a bit bad, but I think that in their home.
Yeah. Curtis is not hip on our head coach in Dallas, and you know, and that's, you know. So that
I know how Curtis feels.
Well, you're stuck on Peyton to be available next offseason, and y'all can get the Saints like two first-round draft picks.
What's that? Two first-round draft picks? You can have Sean Payton.
I think Sean Payton will be available next offseason, and y'all can get the Saints about
Sean,
a couple first-round draft picks.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Rob, because I believe he'll be the next Cowboy head coach.
What?
Yeah, I think there's a strong chance. But I'm looking forward to these additional first-round draft picks we're going to get for him.
This guy. Hey, Willie,
I think Gary was spot on the needs. But I'll go even a step further. I know Gary touched on defensive tackle for the Cowboys. You know, after losing Randy Gregory, you got to be concerned about the pass rushing for the Cowboys, too. So not only defensive tackle stopped the run, but now you got to find another pass rusher to replace the what you were getting from Randy Gregory, too. And definitely offensive line, Gary touched on that. And the one other position I'll touch on slightly, there's got to be a slight concern about replacing Amari Cooper, too, at the wide receiver position. So that's, I would say those are the three things, defensive line for me, offensive line, and there's probably a slight concern at the wide receiver position as well if you're a Cowboy fan or member of that front office organization.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That's legit. And I don't know if you guys are on Underdog, but y'all really need to download the Underdog app. They're doing best ball drafts now. Dude, it's fun as hell. I've been in a lot of them. And I tell you right now, I'm drafting your boy C.D. Lamb and, of course, the young running back. I'm drafting them way above ADP because I think C.D. Lamb's going to catch 100 balls this year. I think we're going to see that kid, damn, why am I blanking on his name? The little running back, little fella.
Tony Pollard.
I think we're going to see a lot of Tony Pollard this year, especially catching the ball. So I'm investing in those guys. But, yeah, try out best ball if you guys haven't done it. If you do fantasy football every year, for those that don't know, best ball is just fantasy football where you do an initial draft and there's no setting of your lineups. Whoever scores the highest, that's who's put into your starting lineup. But you just draft it now, and you don't have to look again. So best ball, that's a good site for it, the one I gave, Underdog. I think DraftKings is doing something with it too. But try it out, man. Best ball is really fun.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Because, boy, don't you hate when you have somebody on your bench and they go off for 40, 50 points? You have one on the bench.
That's the worst, man.
And the Cowboys.
Wow.
Where the stars Barry had to concentrate on when Barry does this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis said we got to concentrate on winning the division. And he thinks it's ours to win. So do I.
Yeah, but y'all got some problems on defense.
I think it's going to be a tight race between the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
Yeah, good stuff.
But y'all got small problems.
Yeah, it'll probably be whoever's healthiest at the end there.
Probably
those two.
When you got Micah Parsons as a pass rusher, the other pass rushers don't have to necessarily be as good. You got one-on-ones everywhere because everybody is game plan is Micah Parsons 1A, 1B, 1C next year. That's how much of a disruptive factor he was as a rookie. So, you know, the problems that you do have, they're not substantial. Diggs, I mean, he showed what he showed as a ball hawk. I would like to see him at safety, but I don't think that'll ever happen. But you got fixable problems. Now, Atlanta, on the other hand, good luck, Andre. We're going to be drinking a lot this year.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to be as bad, man. I know just the news about Eddie Goldman just retiring, that was not good. I was excited to get him. Then just, you know, him retiring was like just kind of caught everyone off guard for sure. You know, 28 years old, there's probably more with that. But, you know, again, we just got to –
some sort of health
course,
issue?
Man. I mean, I think it was more or less, like, yeah, probably something within – I mean, obviously he took 2020 off due to, you know, COVID, if you will. And, just maybe he wasn't healthy. Maybe he shouldn't feel like going through that process again. It's just an interesting situation. The question, does he love football? There's a lot of things, and I'm sure there's going to be more on those reports too. But just, just kind of interesting that happened, you know, literally.
Yeah, I
just signed him
when I read that too.
Yeah, but I don't know. Thanks
Mariota has a lot of talent. There's no question about it. You know, the problem has been can he stay healthy? You know, and I can only speak for my Saints, but we have better success against a quarterback like Tom Brady than we have against a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. So those mobile quarterbacks tend to hurt my Saints. And, you know, we shut out Tom Brady but gave up 42 points to Jalen Hurts. I mean, that kind of scares me a little bit with the athletic ability of Marcus Mariota. So he certainly got the talent. But can he stay healthy is going to be the question. And obviously Arthur Smith has, you know, some usage with him for their time together at Tennessee. So obviously I think he thinks highly of him.
Oh,
and we got to have receivers at least
6-3. That's our Super Bowl. If we could steal a rivalry game from the Saints, oh, man, that would be beautiful. That kind of thing makes your season in a rebuild.
I don't think we'll be as bad, but we're going to be as good. So we literally don't know what's going to happen this season. So, you know, again, I know JQ, if he's on the show, he's like, yeah, 4 wins easily. So the gauntlet is what. But, like I said, you know, I just we got a tough schedule, but who knows? I do want to talk about some questions with the AFC East, and we're going to talk about Leonard Fournette too, Rob, because I don't know why your boy is like nearly 260? That's nuts. We're going to talk about that in a quick second, but I'm going to talk about a couple things here for the AFC East, and there's a couple questions you can throw out, but I've kind of picked the best I'm thinking of for the Patriots, and you guys can comment on this later, obviously. I guess the question is, who's going to call the plays, right? Joe Judge or Matt Patricia? Because at this, you know, what happened with Josh Allen taking the job with the Raiders, who's going to call the plays? What's going to happen with the continuity? Because Josh McDaniels has been there for such a long time. That's one question that you may have. And another question, just as I'm adding a little extra credit here for the Patriots, is who's going to play corner? Because you lost Stephen Gilmore, you lost J.C. Jackson, I want to say, and you know what's happening in that division. You got to go against Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill. I mean, right now, that's a huge question for the Patriots as far as who's calling the plays on offense and then also if they have enough corners to stop people. If you're the Bills, I'm just going to go through and you guys can talk about this as well. You're going to talk about, again, the offense changes again with Brian, you know, Dable. He had a good opportunity to kind of help with Josh Allen. And so now you're going to figure out, is Ken Dorsey the guy to take him to the next level, right? Because if you're looking at the Bills, there's some talk that they are favorite for the Super Bowl. So, again, how is that continuity going to happen with them? Talk about the Dolphins. It's Tua ready, right? Tua, now is the time, bruh. I mean, again, we've talked about You know, you got your boy fired. You know, I still am upset about what happened with my guy, Brian Flores. But I'm interested to see what happens with the offense, because the way Mike McDaniels comes in, he has a run-heavy offense, very similar to the 49ers. So that may help out Tua. You added a great weapon in Tyreek Hill, so there may be no excuses. And you got your Waddle, you got your receivers from Alabama. So Tua, the time is now, bro. And then last but not least, if you're the Jets, Josh, Zach Wilson, excuse me, the answer. Right now, Jets had a good draft. And if you heard the rumors about what's going on, he's getting headlines, Zach Wilson, for the wrong things, hooking up with, like, his mom's best friend or something crazy like that. So that's something that's happening. Jets don't want to hear that. They want to hear that you're working, bro, and doing some things too. So that's what's happening on the Jets side as well too. So I don't know if you want to comment about any questions for the AFC East. I'll start with Rob and then kind of go around the horn and kind of whatever you guys need for that.
Yeah, you know, I think that was a very good report. I mean, yeah, with the Jets, I think you were spot on. How much are we going to see from a maturation process with Zach Wilson from year one to year two? That's going to be key for their long-term success. He's got to have a pretty big jump going from year one to year two. So I think that's going to be the number one thing. They did have a heck of a draft. They got him some more pieces in the offensive game. You know, how much, you know, are those guys going to come around and in their first year, too, is going to be key. But I think Zach Wilson is going to be the key for that team. How much do they grow from year one to year two? They get Mekhti Becton back on the offensive line. He's going to be huge. But the Bills, how much are they going to get from their running game? Josh Allen was the best runner last year, and you can't have your quarterback as the best runner. So it's, how much are they going to get from their running game is going to be huge. How much do they get from James Cook, the running back from Georgia, in his rookie season? I think he's got potential. For them to get to the next level, they have to improve their running game. I think they're going to have an elite defense this year. And, of course, Josh Allen and the weapons.
Von Miller.
But they have to have – they have to have a running game if they're going to have any chance. You can't have Josh Allen as your best runner. I think you were spot on with the Dolphins. How much do we see Tua grow, which I think he's going into his third season. So how much does he grow into that next level as well? And then with the Patriots, I want to see what do they get out of the offensive weapons as well. I think you were spot on with the corner position. But also, what are they going to get out of their offensive weapons, their running backs, their wide receivers? They just haven't been getting a lot of production going back to Tom Brady's last season with the Patriots. They just haven't gotten a lot of production out of those positions, out of their key offensive weapons.
Well, you know, with the Jets, you know, can they improve on the offensive side of the ball? Can that quarterback down there, you know, be more mature, you know, lead his team? They're going to be last in the division. Can they improve from last year? Well, they're going to have to.
Thank you, guys. A lot of people have been Buffalo.
Yeah, that was my next thing. I think, you know, Buffalo's the most complete team in the division. And they are a Super Bowl favorite. They're a Super Bowl favorite of mine. Whether they get there, because it's so tough in the AFC, but they're one of the front runners in the AFC and all the AFC. But one thing I would show their quarterback, I'd show him all those Dak Prescott footage because he runs. You know, he doesn't run like Mahomes. He doesn't run like Russell Wilson. He's not a smart runner like those guys. Those guys slide just at the right time. Kyle Murray, they slide. They're baseball players. They know how to hit the deck before they get hit. They save themselves. He's not that type of a runner. I'd show him, watch this. That's going to be you. All you have to do is make one, you know, dig into the turf too much, and your leg keeps going. You're what's back behind you, you know, and then we're done. Mm. Bringing, you know, drafting a running back, maybe that's going to help somewhat. But they run, their running game was horrible. And with that horrible running game, he would take off running. And they had a good running game when he was running. But a quarterback running like that, especially a quarterback running like that, that doesn't have that baseball background, and I don't know if he does or doesn't, but he doesn't appear to have that baseball background where he knows how to slide or smart enough. He takes hits. He takes hits like Dak Prescott takes hits. And that's the wrong way to run when you're the quarterback of the team, especially when you're the quarterback of the team and you've got a team that's good enough to compete and possibly get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. They got to see what they got with this these other guys, the running back. New England, we'll see about New England. We'll see if New England can even have a successful season. Without Tom there, they haven't done so well. They're not, you know, they're not 15-1 anymore.
You know how you feel
about 16-1 anymore. They're not 14-3 anymore. I'm talking about New England.
We know who you're talking about.
They're done.
They're done?
They're done. Yeah.
All right. Coaching job. Nah, do you think I'm sad of that, bro?
Yeah, like, I get where he's coming from with New England.
Put Belichick
like,
out there. Let Belichick play that secondary. He can put his mullet son on the other
that
side.
That's the one thing he does well. Like, him and Nick, no matter what you say, that's the thing they love, working with DBs. So they'll have those guys up to par. But the issue is you go look on that offensive side of the ball, they don't have a game-changing player on offense, period. They have pretty good players, moderate to average players, but they don't have a game-changing player on offense, period. So I just see them as a team that won't beat themselves. But, I mean, 500 to me is success for them. For the Jets, if the Jets are 7-10, are we really saying that's a bad year? And
wow.
Zach Wilson shows a little
improvement for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So with the Jets, yeah, that's good. Like you said, Buffalo is a steamroller in that division. They should have no problem winning it. Josh Allen, he's basically white Cam Newton. He when he runs, no. I mean, just think about this. Go look at some clips of Josh.
Wow.
Look at some clips of young Cam Newton. He looks for contact when he's running. So to Curtis's point, that's a little dangerous. Like, bro, sometimes you got to get down and get out of bounds. You can't always run over linebackers, but he does have the ability to do it, so that's the trouble of it. So, yeah, Buffalo's going to be fine. I think James Cook is going to be in a timeshare with Singletary because I don't think Singletary is good enough to beat that kid out. And what was the last one you said? Oh, Miami. Yeah, Tua, your career's on the line, baby. Ball out this year or they're drafting somebody else, period.
Ooh, that was a good ending, yeah. That was good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We want to hear from you on our Facebook and Twitter page. Next week, we'll be back at you Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right over in Atlanta and New York City. And for the Central Time Zone, Chicago, stand up. It's going to be 10 o'clock for you all. Albuquerque, Mountain Time Zone, it's going to be 9 o'clock. In California, Fresno, the Jackson, Mississippi, the West Coast, it's going to be 8 p.m. For those of you all in the Pacific Time Zone. So you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. You can click on this same link to get the rest of the show this week. Good night, people.
Good night, people from the West Coast. Great night. Hey, who is...
Love
him
like Rob said. Good.
Who's Tua's backup?
Oh, man.
Who's the backup?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Is it Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater?
Wow.
Yeah.
They
just signed him, so he's going to be the backup.
You know what? It'll depend on how these guys do in preseason. Because Tua may not be the starter He may get beat out before the season, season even started.
I don't know about that.
I don't see that.
You feel Teddy two gloves. No, you don't have to be scared of Teddy two gloves.
Hey.
He's going to throw 50% for 120 yards, one pick, maybe a ton. Like, that's Teddy two gloves, man. Like, he's not, like, if he's in there, Tua was really, really bad.
Wow.
I'll put it like
that. Yeah, I agree. That's a little stretch, Gary. I mean, I love the bold prediction, bro, but that may be a slight stretch. We'll see.
Hey,
they're going to try to make him successful. Go ahead.
Tua sucked. He sucked.
I mean,
he's really. I think he's been a complete flop. So.
Wow, I thought he played a little better toward the end of the season last year. To be honest.
A little better.
They won like what, 8 straight games at the end of the regular season.
They
mm-hmm.
did. Yeah.
I thought he.
But
played
was it
a lot
because
of
him, or was he along for the ride? So they've given him the weapons. The team is loaded. The system that the boy runs appears to be good for what they did in San Fran. So I'm just saying everything is laid out. So if he doesn't perform,
now
they got those
time.
Picks from Houston.
Yeah.
I just think they draft somebody.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I agree with that. It's a prove-it-for-him year for him, Gary. But I don't know if he's that bad. Yeah, like I said, we'll see. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. He has to just, like, straight up, like, stalk. But we'll see. Unless you think he should have sucked, that's a whole other conversation. We thought he played well. But we will see. Look, Gary's holding steady. I love it. Hey, Rob, let's get these last topics here. We're going to have an abbreviated OT portion so we can get some rest for everyone, too. So I know, Rob, we can talk briefly about your boy, Leonard Fournette. Any other topic? I know you obviously have to talk about some situations with a couple of NBA news. But really briefly, we can talk about Leonard Fournette. And we don't have JQ to make fun of with the Lakers, but we'll talk about that too. So go ahead.
I'll start that one off.
Tampa Bay is not too happy with Leonard Fournette right now. Up to 260 pounds, looks like he's got about a month to get himself to shape. But hey, Leonard, man, keep eating, man. Get up to 280. Get up to 300 pounds. keep eating.
Absolutely.
You know, well, you're on our rival team now. Just keep eating, Leonard.
Well, he must be saving a lot of money. He's eating at Old Country Buffet, I guess. So he's saving a lot of money on food.
Eating good in the neighborhood. Shout out to Uncle Lenny. He'll be fine, man. They'll burn that fat off him. He'll start off in the doghouse, but he'll be fine. He'll be a featured back this year.
I can tell you what, it's hot enough in Tampa Bay for him to, to lose it. So,
wow. Rob, you know the inside
football,
details about that.
We've all grown up and seen somebody try to lose weight quickly and then go into camp and all of a sudden injury happens. Like, that's a possibility as well.
Yeah,
that's crazy. So, Gertis, Gary, did you hear the news about the a call being held to confirm some type of commitments? You hear about that or no?
Yeah, you know, they have this call. They know they're stuck with Westbrook, so they know they got to do something. So they have this call, and I guess, the three of us are going to – we're going to make it work or whatever. Well, they have to make it work for one more year because no one wants Westbrook, not for – what Curtis and I were talking about before the podcast is if Westbrook was a $10 million a year player, he'd have a lot of teams that wanted him, maybe even a $15 million a year player. But $43, $44 million? Hell no. Hell no. They've got no takers, so they have no choice but to try and do what they can and make it work. That's the right thing to do is try and get together and see if they can make it work. It's not going to work. You know, they don't have – you know, if he were coached by Phil Jackson, let's say, Phil Jackson was that master with when it comes to personalities. You know, he could, you know, whether it was Meta World Peace in L.A. or it was, you know, Rodman in Chicago, you know, he was that guy that could take those guys and bring the best out of them. He could probably do that with someone like – Westbrook saying, this is the only thing we want you to do. With Rodman, we want you to play defense and rebound for us. That's it. And stay in the ball game. They could say, him, that's all we want you to do is drive to the bucket. You know, don't start shooting threes because the guy in your garden is shooting threes. You know, don't, you know, stay out of your own way. He's still a talented athlete, but he's nowhere near that range of money. So they're stuck with him. And I love it.
And you know what? You know, those guys could try to convince themselves that the three of them could compete. Well, man, when you look at the rest of that Lakers roster, besides those three players, I mean, they have Andre Peterson, Gary Schaefer, Naj, as role players on their team. That roster is
so they got some studs.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can do better than that nonsense that's happening over there.
Yeah.
Let me get my 8 minutes, man. Let Naj get his 8 minutes in the game.
Eight minutes.
That's all we need, right?
That roster is poo. I mean, that roster is diddly poo.
Diddly poo. This is the other thing about Rob. This is unprecedented. We've never seen a Hall of Fame basketball player. This is the other thing. We've never seen a Hall of Fame basketball player, and that's what West loses confidence to the extent that he did. We're not talking about shooting three-pointers and the stuff that people have always criticized him for, and rightly so. We're talking about a dude who could not shoot a bank shot from 15 feet. Or his airballing, like his confidence was gone last year. So I don't even know if you can build that up with a guy who's kind of lost his step speed-wise already, so he's a little slower than what he used to be. But the confidence issue is a whole other thing, man. There's never been a guy, this high-level Hall of Fame player, who just completely lost confidence in his ability to do things normally on the basketball court. Some of the blooper plays from Westbrook last year, dude, that's a Shaq to the full career for other people. He did it all in a year. I don't know.
I was trying to think of if there was someone that lost that confidence like that to that degree that was, you know, considered to be one of the best players in the league, you know, in his career. To fall that far, it's got to be eating at him. It's got to be tearing him up. So that's all he's thinking about. That's why I was thinking that maybe the only coach in the league that could help a player like that would be like a Phil Jackson or somebody like that. That's kind of a guru with the troubled players. I can't think of any other coach that would be able to fix that guy. Off the top of my head.
This is his roster, man. Wingin Gable. Who the Sam Hill is that? Austin
a journeyman big man guy who, yeah. About 2.3
Jones. Rebounds. Troy Brown. Thomas Bryant. Well, he's coming off an injury. He might be able to contribute. Max Christie.
Right.
Kendrick Nunn. Talen Horton Tucker. Lonnie Walker. Oof. Scottie Pippen Jr., Stanley Johnson. Good luck.
Wow.
As a Blazer fan, I encourage y'all to be smiling when y'all hear that roster for the Lakers.
So how are they going to make it? You know, I heard on ESPN that they're still in hopes of getting Kyrie. How are they ever going to pull off a deal like that?
Well, you send
them, I know,
you send
that's what I heard on ESPN.
And hopefully they're drunk when you negotiate. That's the only way.
Trying to get their team in there, trying to figure out something here. Yeah, because it's they're trying to, like, pull the wool, you know, try to promise deals.
So that's the other thing. You don't have picks either. And then you got the question of, is LeBron even going to buy in and finish his career in L.A., or is he looking to get the hell out of there next year? And at that point, you'd have to trade AD and do a full rebuild. So it's even worse when you think about this long term.
Yeah, LeBron should retire now before he plays for that team.
Well,
oh my goodness,
he should retire now. Who's gonna be the other two dudes that start? Well, maybe Thomas Bryant starts at center and move AD to four, but
yeah,
who's coming off the bench? Who's doing anything for that team?
Jones guy is pretty good as a big, but I just don't know what you do guard wise. Hell, Kendrick Nunn didn't play all of last year, so now you're expecting him to come back and start. Taylor Horton Tucker, who you should have traded at the deadline 2 years ago because you overvalued him, and now everybody sees what he actually is, and now you can't trade him, and you're stuck with him because he's just a rotational player. He's not a good player like you were presenting. Remember, they scoffed at trade because they didn't want to give up THT. And how he got a nickname, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's funny. they signed a Gary Payton II, but, you know, in that, I don't really know what's happening, man. It's a dumpster fire, man, for the Lakers, man. So, AD is your only supposed chip, man. That's the only – and he's, you know, we know how he's – what is his nickname? Street clothes?
Street clothes.
Here's the other part. Even if you get Kyrie, street clothes being healthy determines your season. If he's healthy, you got a shot at doing some of the things you talk about. But if he's typical Anthony Davis, then it doesn't matter who you bring in, Kyrie or whoever, you're done.
Yeah.
And then
let's
talk about
this real quick.
You're counting on LeBron, and he's with 37, 38 years old. How much do you expect him to? How much longer do you expect him to play at a high level?
Well, he's getting.
I mean, you saw last year he had to sit out a lot of games because of injury.
Well, let's say he spends. Let's say LeBron. Let's just hypothetical here. Let's say LeBron stays with the Lakers, and they don't make the playoffs for the next 2 or 3 years. Let's say, does that affect his legacy? He ends up on a team that he's wanted to be on for so long, and he's there, and he brings in his buddy, and they still can't get it done, you know?
No, it doesn't affect his legacy. It affects AD's legacy. Put it like this. If you split LeBron's career into three, he would be a Hall of Famer in each segment. So his legacy doesn't change. He's one of the best to ever do it. But him sitting around while they're losing, you mean the passive-aggressive king? Nah, that dude will be looking for the exit sign if they lose again this year, man. I highly doubt he's going to sit there and lose for the rest. Mr. Passive Aggressive will start tweeting. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's true. Let's talk about this. Really, I want to get these last two topics really quickly here. The Nets are definitely focused on dealing Durant, though, first, Rob. But what are you going to talk about that?
Yeah, I just don't know where it goes from here. I mean, Phoenix just got DeAndre Ayton, and they can't trade him. I mean, about the only team that may have a shot is the Dolphins. I mean, not the Dolphins, the Miami Heat. But who'd the Miami Heat give up? You know, if you trade Jimmy Butler, are you really getting better? I just don't see where the market goes for Durant right now. I just don't see a team that's willing to make that trade and give up a lot of their resources. Because are you really getting better if you give up a lot of your resources for him? I mean, Kevin Durant's 34 years old, too. Man. When was the last time he played a full season?
Wow. Anything else?
NBA mastermind, Masai Ujiri. Masai creeps in at the end and makes the Godfather awesome. Scotty Barnes. He puts Scotty Barnes in the package, he gets Garnett. I mean, he gets Durant. I know Toronto sounds like the dark horse.
Toronto Raptors could be a sleeper in the situation. They really can be. They have some.
They got the assets. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Let's wrap this up here. Speaking of DeAndre Ayton, man, you know that. You know, obviously, Phoenix Suns, they matched the offer. We talked about that point on. They said they had every intention of matching that deal, if you will. I think they needed him to kind of go set the market, figure out what he's worth. I'm like, all right, yeah, we'll pay you that. You know, it's not anything outlandish. So, you know, if you're Phoenix, you know, you're saying the right thing, but you do wonder if they're like, you know, I don't know what we're going to, you know, they don't want to outbid themselves. So they're like, hey, that's pretty fair. We talked about it last week. You know, he was the number one draft, you know, pick out of that class too. So you look pretty dumb if you didn't get a chance to re-sign him. The only thing that brings tears to my eyes, and I'm sorry that we got to go back on this, Naj, is because it reminded me of what happened with famous John Contract Man, or a.k.a. John Contact Man. That was the worst situation ever in Atlanta history. You know, your boy got hurt. Kevin Willis was hurt. Mike Vitello was mad about Cliff Levington, so he plays John Contract, and he has some type of, you know, they go 13-3, and then he's a backup center, right? And, you know, next thing you know, Detroit offers, you know, him a contract, and the damn Hawks decide to match, give him that 6-year, $13 million deal. He was making more than Michael Jordan, making more than Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. What the hell were we thinking, man? So that's what brings back memories for me whenever you're matching some damn contracts, if you will, man. What the hell?
Yeah. No.
And shout out to the other one. Remember the Pistons
thing
gave
I would say on that
Josh
is,
Smith qualifying off.
You know,
it's
with
real, right?
With Phoenix, you know, they let him test the market. They get the guy, they get their center back.
Right.
You know, it didn't cost them a lot. So I think it's a win-win for both of them. And that's just the business of professional sports, and that's the dog-eat-dog part of it, you know. But it is what it is. I think he's happy to stay where he's at, and I think they're happy to have him there. So.
He said a lot of stuff. Yeah, it was good. Everything worked out.
Yeah.
So,
He's definitely happy. You know, you got to think, the thing you got to remember about DeAndre Ayton, you know, he went to high school in Phoenix. He went to college in Arizona.
From Arizona.
He got drafted by the Phoenix Suns. So, I mean, he's definitely happy to remain with the Phoenix Suns. He's been in that state for quite some time. Even though he's originally from the Bahamas, he's been in that area for most of his life. And so he's definitely ecstatic to be remaining with the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, it was a business move for him to sign that offer sheet with the Pacers. But it worked out for him in the end. He's where he really wants to be.
Yeah, and
it's
just Robert Sarver is cheap.
Go ahead.
You got the number one pick. You know what the re-sign money is going to be. Just pay the money as opposed to making him go to the market and then bring a deal back, because these are still humans. So as much as we like to assume that people, you know, can just kind of fit in, remember what happened in that Game 7 where the veterans on that team were cussing him out and Monty had to sit him down. So it's like, man, relationships matter. And you treating him the way you just treated him, and then he's going to have the little angry short person syndrome Chris Paul yelling at him next year. I don't know if you win 60 games again, or 57, I think they won last year, whatever it was. I don't know if that happened again. So I don't know, man. Sarver's cheap as hell, though.
That's a good point, Naj. I mean, obviously, you know, again, what's been happening, because there's some questions about his dedication, right? There's questions if, you know, if he was really mature enough, in some situations if he was working hard. And so, I mean, there's different people can motivate you, right? Is Chris Paul the right motivator for him, or hey, he's coming back? So, you know, Chris is, you know, he's maybe thinking, well, he only got a couple of years anyway. They say they locked up Devin Booker, so this is going to be interesting what's going to happen with Phoenix for sure, you know. So, all good. Hey, let's get this done here. Last topic, Rob. I don't know if you can talk about Duke and Arizona or your predictions for Tar Heel basketball, man. I'm sure you can kind of pick and choose your topic. I know you're excited about that, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, if I'm going to pick one of those two, I'm going to talk about North Carolina basketball, obviously.
Of course you would.
Made it to the national championship game. Blew a big lead in the national championship game to Kansas. Got four of their five starters coming back, so that's huge for the Tar Heels. I mean, obviously, you lose Brady Manek. But you go out and get Pete Nance from Northwestern, a transfer to come to North Carolina. He'll be able to come right in. Maybe he's not as good a shooter as Brady, but he's going to be a good low-post scorer and a good rebounder for the Tar Heels. But then, you know, I mean, you saw Armando Bacot, the way he dominated the boards in the Final Four and throughout the NCAA tournament. He's going to be back. Leaky Black, probably one of the best defenders in college basketball. KJ Hill, he's back at the point guard position. So they're going to be really good. They got a pretty good recruiting class coming in. Seth Trimble is going to be a good 1-2 guard. He can play the 1 and the 2 coming off the bench. He's going to be a true freshman next season. They're going to be preseason number one in just about every college basketball preseason poll. Based on what they have coming back this year. Duke got a hell of a recruit class, but they're going to be young. Kentucky's got another hell of a recruit class, but they're going to be young. Arkansas, another hell of a recruiting class, but they're going to be young too. So North Carolina is a hands-on favorite just because of the experience of their returns that they have coming back. So, hey, you know, I know the NT tournament is a tough one because, you know, one bad game, you could be eliminated. But, yeah, the Tar Heels are definitely the favorite going into the next season of college basketball, and hopefully they can come back and win the national championship.
Good job. Hey, America, I don't know if you were a North Carolina fan. Did you appreciate that last segment by Rob? So, again, you know, just had a feeling he was going to go that direction. But I do appreciate you adding some stuff about Duke, Arizona, and the other squads as well, too, Rob. So, again, appreciate you guys. East Coast, West Coast, we got covered. Nas, what a great surprise you jumping on. Obviously, you're missing JQ. JQ is out celebrating. So, celebrations to you, JQ. Hope you enjoy your time in Mexico. Gentlemen, what a great night. Thanks for hanging with us. We got through all the topics.
They let JQ in international waters? My God. Call somebody.
Like,
my God.
We tried to stop him. We tried to stop him. But they...
hey,
yeah,
Mexico has always let anybody in their country, though.
Here we go. Here we go. Think about
yeah,
the
but you know, they never, yeah, it was the one country that never closed during the pandemic.
how you know about that, Rob?
Hey, I know. I didn't go, but they never closed.
I'm totally messing with you, man. Rob's building the wall. We're building the wall. Are we, though? They got underground ways of getting around, you know. There's a good comedy special about that with Trevor Noah, too, which is hilarious. But anyway, hey, we appreciate you guys again for another great edition of Talking Scores with the 12th Man. Curtis, Gary, Rob, Naj, and everyone. JQ, you can go ahead and end the show, Rob, on that note, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all again for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Once again, next Tuesday night, we are back at 11 p.m. Eastern Time in D.C., 10 p.m. Central in St. Louis, Denver, Salt Lake City, 9 p.m., and, of course, up there in the Pacific Northwest when Gary and Curtis hang out, Portland and Seattle, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for you all. We want to see you, hear from you all on next week's show. Good night, people. Have a great week.
Good night, people. Thanks from Curtis and all.
3,000 jump shot, guys. Get that that NBA salary, bro. Have some fun. See you guys next week.
All right.